Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So I guess it's probably self-evident to say we're all still reeling from the events at Bondi, the Chanukah massacre, all trying to understand how this could have happened, trying to look for some sort of framework that will help us make some sort of sense as to the developments, and perhaps even more importantly, to kind of understand where is this all going. And to help us understand the situation, I'm going to chat to Stephen Silverman, Director of Investigations and Enforcement at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. We're going to try and understand the correlation between increased anti-Semitism and terror attacks. Stephen Silverman, thanks for being with me on Chai FM this morning.
Good morning.
So, yeah, Stephen, difficult times. As I said, we're looking to you to make some kind of sense of this horrible, messy situation for us. And I guess my first question to you, as Director of Investigations and Enforcement at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, is how do you assess the current levels of anti-Semitism, both in the UK and globally?
One doesn't want to be hyperbolic. And I've been doing this work for 10 years, and pretty much every year has been worse than the preceding one. But where we are now, the culmination of 2 years of a campaign to persuade people that Israel is the unique evil on earth, that it is no different to the Nazi regime of the 1930s and 40s, that applies to everyone who refuses to disavow any connection to or support for Israel, then it is now off the scale. That campaign has been extraordinarily successful, particularly among younger people. And we're in the situation yet again where we balance the difference between shock and surprise. What happened at Bondi was deeply, viscerally shocking, but it wasn't remotely surprising. It was the inevitable consequence of this campaign of demonization that has intensified massively over the last couple of years, but of course began far earlier than that.
Yeah, Stephen, I've resisted this comparison over and over and over and over, and yet I keep on thinking, and don't say it loud up until now, this truly must be how it felt to be Jewish in the 1930s in Germany.
One of the things that we have always been very firm about, a campaign against anti-Semitism with people who have done this very carelessly, is if you're thinking of comparing something to the Holocaust, don't find another comparison. But I'm afraid we are at the point now where the parallels between what is happening to Jews around the world and what happened in at Nazi Germany in the certainly in the 1930s are unavoidable now. This overt hatred cloaked in the language of humanitarianism to give it a moral justification is one of the most deadly things I've seen in my lifetime.
Powerful, powerful words you're speaking this morning. I guess I want to ask you, are we seeing a direct pipeline from online hate speech to physical violence?
Well, as we're talking about what happened in the Holocaust, you know, and again, it's something of a cliche to say it, but the Holocaust did not begin with mass executions in front of open graves. It didn't begin with railway trucks and ghettos, and it didn't begin with gas chambers. It began with language. It began with discrimination. It began with hostility towards Jews for being Jews, and it began with conspiracy theories about Jews. And we have seen that same language used again and again and again for years now. But as I said earlier, it has been rocket fueled over the last couple of years. And it is absolutely inevitable that that language eventually results in physical violence and then in murder. It's no surprise. I mean, what did people think was going to happen when they repeatedly called to globalize the Intifada and made it sound as though it was a thoroughly moral exercise, just the right humanitarian thing to do? Inevitably, people sooner or later were going to act on it. And what we have to bear in mind is that I don't know about you, but I am not aware of any government anywhere, maybe apart from in the USA, having done anything other than hand-wringing, performative hand-wringing, offering thoughts and prayers, yet doing nothing to change the trajectory that we're on. I'm not aware of any concrete actions that were taken in the wake of the Yom Kippur attack here in Manchester. Albanese's words in Australia are just shocking. Trying to lay this at the door of gun control is delusional. You know, the people who were attacked in Manchester were stabbed. It had nothing to do with gun control. Apparently, there were viable bombs found at Bondi. That has nothing to do with gun control. So while our leaders are in denial about what is really happening, this is going to happen again, I'm afraid. It seems unavoidable.
Isn't it ironic that many of us Jews thought our best case scenario was living in developed Western civilization, first world, human rights, democracies? And it seems like that is just not the case. It seems like if we were to be Jews in Hungary or Jews in the Eastern Bloc or Jews in South America, we'd probably be living better lives than those we're experiencing right now.
It's ironic, isn't it? Because one of the things that gave modern Zionism and the foundation of the State of Israel its urgency, that gave it its impetus, was the acknowledgement that Europe could no longer be trusted not to kill its Jews. And we seem to be heading back there now, only it's not just Europe, it's the Western world. And yes, you're right. It's not something I think that any of us ever envisaged. It's as, I mean, if you look at it coldly and logically, the horror of the Holocaust, the shock of the revelations of what took place, kind of tamped it down for a number of decades. And I think we mistakenly thought that was a permanent state of affairs, but clearly it isn't. And of course, one of the weapons that's being used is the diminution or even denial of the Holocaust by the very people who want to carry out another one.
Stephen, we're very nearly out of time. I don't want to leave this on such a negative note. I'm wondering, do you have a call to action? Is there some hope here? What's your message for us South African Jews and Jews worldwide?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the question that's always asked is what should be done. I think it's the wrong question because it's glaringly obvious. The question that what should be done is that Jews should be afforded the same protection against hatred and bigotry that is granted to other minorities. It's not happening. And the question we need to be asking is, why isn't it being done? What are our leaders afraid of? What are they avoiding? And until we get to the bottom of that, I find it very difficult to see a change in the course of that we're on.
Stephen Silverman, Director of Investigations and Enforcement at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. Thank you for the wake-up call. I think we needed to hear what you had to say. Thank you.
Thank you.